seems to me that we operate in a world of limits. What I mean by that is that we can't do whatever we want. We don't have unlimited resources. We don't have unlimited cash flow. I don't have the ability to go into the gym and dunk a basketball, right? We live in a world of limits. And for the most part, it's prudent to recognize what those limits are, isn't it? When we exceed what we're able to do, most of the time it doesn't end up well. And so the wisdom that we have says that we need to be prudent, we need to prepare, we need to think about what we're going to actually need, and we need to make sure we don't attempt things that we can't actually accomplish. There's a fable from Aesop that you may be familiar with. It's called The Ant and the Grasshopper. And in this story, you've got an ant who was very industrious, prepared, stored away all the food and resources that this ant was going to need, stored it all up in its ant hill, and was ready after the fall when the winter was going to come. On the other hand, there was the grasshopper. If you remember from the story, the grasshopper was just kind of a happy-go-lucky, flying by the seat of his pants type of a guy, and he wasn't prepared. He just enjoyed the food that was there during the summer season and the fall, and then as the fall was coming to a close and winter was upon the grasshopper comes crying to the ant, "I need food, can't you help me?" Now, that's really where the fable sort of ends. But we know this story even if we don't know that story, right? It's the story that we've all been told in our culture over the years. The wise person prepares, right? The wise person stores up in the times of plenty for the times that are lean. This is good and logical thinking. On the other hand, we have the grasshopper as an example of someone who is foolish. Do not be like the grasshopper, right? We live in a world of limits, and the grasshopper didn't understand that there was going to be a limit to the food that was just laying around for him to enjoy. And we ask ourselves questions like, well, what was the ant supposed to do anyway, right? I mean, how many grasshoppers can the ant feed before the ant himself doesn't have any food for the winter time? There's a logic that says we need to be prepared. There is scarcity in this world, and at some point we just can't give anymore because we can't meet the need. Does anybody want to argue with me on this? I don't want to belabor the point. We agree with this, right? There's a certain logic, but I want to bring that logic, that wisdom, into conversation with our scripture this morning and see how things shake out a little bit. We heard from the Gospel of John a familiar story, the feeding of the 5,000. John's version is pretty streamlined. He doesn't have all the details that Matthew and the other Gospel writers have, so I'm going to bring them into conversation a little bit with us this morning. But as the story goes, Jesus had been trying to get away. He had been ministering for a long period of time, constantly assailed by these crowds of people who are needy. And just before this moment, he had gotten word that John the Baptist had been beheaded. So Jesus goes to this uninhabited side of the Sea of Galilee to find some respite. And no sooner does he arrive on the shore than what does he see? A massive crowd of people pressing in on him. Scripture says 5,000 men, so we can be pretty certain that there was quite a bit more than this. They were only counting the men, but we don't think there was only men there. There would have been women, probably children as well. So there were a ton of people. When was the last time you saw over 5,000 people just gathered in an open space? It's a lot of people. Think about concerts and things like that, right? There was a lot of people that were gathered here. And they had traveled from their villages to this uninhabited space. And let me tell you a little secret. These people were not ants, they were grasshoppers. They were not prepared for what they had gotten themselves into. The night had gotten long. It was getting towards evening time, and they didn't have food. Jesus saw this and knew this. In the Gospel of John, Jesus just poses a question to Philip and says, how are we going to feed all these people? In the other Gospels, it happens more like, Jesus, we got to send these people home. We can't feed them all. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus poses the question, how are we going to feed all these people? And they say, well, there's no way we can feed these people. A year's wages couldn't even give everyone one bite. And then Andrew comes up and said, well, we got this kid here. He's got some fish and some loaves. That might take a little bit of a dent out of it. Not, right? That's not going to do much. But Jesus knew what he had in his mind, and so he said, well, tell the people to sit down. Tell the people to sit down, then I want you to start to pass out the food. So they start to pass it out, and everybody gets food. Everybody gets something. In fact, there's baskets left over. This is a miraculous happening. Everything in our human logic would have said, we have bumped up against the limits of what we're able to do here, right? When we have a church potluck and there is only one little plate of barbecue sitting there and 150 people show up, we're not expecting that to go all the way around, right? That's the way the disciples were thinking. But there's actually something that this harkens back to all the way in 2 Kings. And we heard it read this morning, but I'm going to read it one more time because we're not as familiar with this passage. It says, a man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. The guy says, how can I set this before 100 men? But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Jesus is bringing out something that God had already done in the Old Testament. And we can see a direct line connecting these two things with the fact that human logic had not changed over those years, had it? This is what I have. This is how many people they are. This does not work. Right? But Jesus calls that into question. Jesus says, with God, that kind of logic doesn't necessarily apply. In the Gospel of Matthew, when the disciples noticed all of these people that were there with no food, they're like, get them out of here. Send them home. Make them go find something. We can't do anything about this. You know what? Jesus was not impressed with their response. Do you know how Jesus responded? You feed them. What? Jesus was living in an alternate reality, according to these disciples, you know, in their minds, right? That they were going to be able to do this. But when they were obedient, and they saw that God's abilities exceed the limitations that we see before us. I'll be honest, this is a challenge. This story and what we read in 2 Kings as well, it puts a challenge before us that's monumental for us to know how to deal with. I started talking all about how we're really good at noticing limits, right? We're really good at noticing what's wise and what's unwise and what we should be prepared for and when's enough is enough and all that kind of thing. But this passage says maybe sometimes we might have to stretch a little bit beyond with what we think the limits will bear. It's pretty clear from the Gospels and from what we see throughout Scripture that Christ followers are going to be called to struggle with this question. How much do we give? How much do we need for ourselves? What's more important be prudent like the ant, or to be compassionate, even if it feels a little bit reckless? We struggle with questions like, am I being wise? Am I trusting God? Brothers and sisters, I wish that I had a more clear manual for you to follow on this than what we've received in God's Word, but I do not. And I stand underneath the authority of Scripture in the same way you do, and wrestle with it in the same way you do. How do we navigate being wise and being prudent with what we have, and also believing that God is calling us to be compassionate sometimes in ways that may challenge what we think is prudent and wise? I have no real other advice for you other than the fact that I believe we need to be listening to the prompting and the calling of the Holy Spirit. God may call you through the prompting of the Holy Spirit to give in a way that you say, this couldn't possibly make a difference, or I couldn't possibly do this. But if we don't struggle with that, if we don't wrestle with that, if we don't leave any room for faith, then I believe sometimes we're going to be cutting off the miraculous things God might want to do. So, brothers and sisters, I know I'm dropping a heavy load on you right now. These are difficult questions to wrestle with. But I want you to know it's good to be wise. It's good to be prudent. It's good to think about the future. But at the same time, we balance that with God's call in our life. Recognize that God can provide all things we need. And that in the grand scheme of things, everything going on in this life pales into comparison to what God has in store for us. So know that I'm praying for you as you seek to navigate your lives under God's call with wisdom and in faith. Pray for me the same, that we may do what is pleasing in God's sight, and that we may be able to participate in things that go beyond the limits that we may see before us for God's glory. Let's pray. Oh God, we confess that you are no less able to work a miracle today than you were then. You are no less capable of working out your plans now than you were then. God, you are no less interested in us as your people trusting in you now than you were then. Lord God, we cannot attempt this apart from the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we pray for your wisdom, and we pray for the guidance of your Spirit as we seek, God, to join into what you're doing in this place, in this world, in ways that are beyond our imagination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.